Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy weird rainy Tuesday. Hope everyone's doing okay out there. We have some more coming later tonight, but Dave said it'll just be kind of random showers, nothing like what we had today, but we're all just here with Gene and Alvin talking about how weird the day it's been from the time you woke up until you got to work and you're soaking wet and you don't know what's going on. So I obviously have to talk to you guys about the big news, and it's just like JFK, if you're old enough, or 9/11, everyone has a story. I have my story. I'm watching the local news, and Jose Ballard pops in and says there's been something happened at a Trump rally, and then they start showing the video and I see him grab his ear and I see he's got blood, and it just, you're going through all the things. Is he shot in the head? Is he going to die? Oh my God, is he going to die? No, I think it's just his ear. What the hell's going on? Who did it? What's going on now? They're trying to get him into the car. Tell me your stories, Gene. Start with you.
Yeah, I'm usually glued to the news. I have the radio on all the time. But my daughter and grandson were over, and we were just finishing up dinner. And my daughter, and we, you know, you try, I'm sure you do this too, you try to have FaceTime with your family and actually
away.
Put your phone down for a little bit. And my daughter says, David, her husband keeps texting me. And she says somebody's shooting at the president. And I'm like, President Trump or President Biden? Mm-hmm. She's like, President Trump. So we start turning things on, and it just happened. So Fox News was on saying this is happening. I don't even have, I unplugged. So I've got it on my laptop, and then they start playing it, and I watched it, and I freaked out. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, they shot him. And we stood there and watched it. And when he got up and he did that fist pump, and you know, you still don't know, because like I said, you're in shock. He could have been dying at that point. I don't know. But I haven't felt a sense of relief, pride, patriotism. I don't even know if those are the right words in a long time like I felt right then. Like, this guy is telling us he's telling everybody I'm okay.
Let me one up you. You know I can't stand Trump.
Right.
I felt the same thing. I felt the same way that you did.
It was incredible. And then they were showing it again, and you know, my daughter's like, I can't watch this anymore. I can't even believe this happened. And so there's a lot of like, you know, what's going on, and then is he okay and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that evening thinking about the crowd, right? So we had a shooting at the Chiefs parade.
Yeah.
Last year, and people scattered, and it was chaos. And I have friends who were there. It was chaos. There was no chaos. They were shooting there. The people were like
chilling,
calm.
Weird.
And you know, and there was no rioting. There was no what. And my understanding is afterwards it was a little crazy because they were trying to clear the area, but at the same time preserve evidence. But there was no reports of people getting stomped on or hurt or anything like that. And I was like, that's incredible. Like, that's very impressive to me. But I think, and I know we're talking about where we were at the time, but I think that this campaign has become so much about imagery. We know those images of Trump are going to be around forever, right? The photographer, that journalist, amazing. But just really like the images going back to the debate, you know, when you had the split screen and you had Trump that was just kind of like this, and then you had Biden at times looking like he was should be in a nursing home, to like this imagery of strength and fight. And, you know, I know he was criticized for saying that, but I took it as keep fighting for liberty, not as something negative at all. And I'm, you know, I have public comments about Trump that I don't need to rehash here. So I just felt like it was an incredible moment that I witnessed history. And felt really great about it. And I was happy to hear he really was okay, because that was the thing I kept listening for after that. Because knowing people and seeing people who've been through things like this, they can think they're okay. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're that old, the next thing you know, they have a heart attack, they have a stroke, or there's some sort of internal bleed. He could have hurt himself on the way down.
Yeah, didn't think of that.
So, yes, it was an incredibly emotional day, and feeling both like, you know, people are shooting at our nominee, and that's terrible, to relief, patriotism, like we said, but really an incredible day. And it's been an incredible series of days since then, I would say.
Yeah, it's 200 years from now, it's going to be the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, JFK Jr. saluting his dad's casket, and Trump.
Yeah.
Those will be the pictures.
Yeah.
Alvin, how about you?
Well, So you were you in town or you were out of town?
I was back in town.
Okay, you're back in town. I was in Kansas City. I had been to Lawrence.
Nice.
Day before had a board meeting. I was in Kansas City and I had gone out and I was drove back to the hotel. I had the ball game on, and when I came back, I was just turning the baseball game on, and had when you turn, you know, it ought to go resets to, I guess, the first channel or whatever. And this is on, you know, like it had, I guess it had happened roughly 10, 15 minutes before. So the first thing I saw on the scroll was what was the line that said the former president is fine, or the former president is the first, that he was okay. Then I saw, you know, how it went down. I'm still shaking inside, and I'm still very just hurt by the entire thing. And I was just somber. I didn't go out that night. I just stayed in my hotel room the whole night. I didn't leave. I didn't watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
I found something else to just watch on TV, and I just sat there and just kind of just pondered, you know, just what is happening.
Right.
What I'm even thinking about the election. I was just thinking more like, one, I'm glad. I thank the Lord the man wasn't killed, because right. Whatever we're in right now,
that timeline would have been so horrible. Much worse.
That would have been horrible for America.
Yeah. What are the chances it makes a difference, and what are the chances it makes the difference, and we really do come back together in some meaningful way?
I think all the players have to acknowledge that whatever's, you know, if we could put it on hold between now and the election, and then after election, whatever happens, you know, does happen. I mean, before the last couple of years, I would have held out hope that that would happen. Now I don't really have hope. It sounds good, but, you know.
I think that Trump has an incredible opportunity to unite the country. Now, there's always going to be a group of people that hate him, and that's not going to change. There's nothing he can say or do that's going to change that. And some of the responses that have been well publicized are just sick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Biden had an opportunity, too, and he's kind of fluffed it the last few days.
He whiffed.
Apparently Trump has said he's torn up his speech and he's going to be a unifying speech. That's what we need. That's what I'm hoping for. He does have the ability to sort of seize the moment at times, but there have been other times when he's woofed it, as we've seen. So he has an opportunity right here to seize the moment and talk about freedom. I mean, I would love to see both of them say, you know what, no more investigations, right? I mean, Trump did not pursue allegations against Hillary. He dropped all those investigations when he became president. People seem to forget that now, but Biden should have done the same thing. Now, a lot of those investigations of Trump are kind of going away anyway, but he should just be like, you know what? Drop it. Like, let's drop that. There's no way from a purely political aspect that the left can stop these attacks in terms of, see, I'm even using that language now, talking about an attack, but talking about bad for democracy, because it's all they have. People are unhappy. They're frustrated. They don't like, I'm saying largely, do not like America's position in the world. The inflation is terrible. Crime is out of control. They don't feel a sense of pride in the country. The only thing that the left has to run on is Trump's a threat to democracy and abortion. And one of the things they've sort of diffused, both with the platform and with the candidates, is some of the extremism around abortion. Now, both of these candidates are pro-life, but they don't embrace the extremes. They support IVF and then the Mephres of the drug I can't pronounce. So I think that is going to continue. And you'll see it on the right. I'm not saying that the right is blameless here either. But I don't think the Democrats can give that up, because it's really all they have politically to run on, because they cannot run on their policies. The one thing they don't understand is it's not just Biden and his frailty. Americans are fed up with their policies. That is the absolute truth. They are not. A lot of people don't like Trump. They're going to vote for him anyway because they don't let Democrat policies. So even if they get another candidate, it doesn't change their policies.
Alvin has a hit, yeah.
Well, I would like to change candidates. You know, I if I had to say, like, well, what you going to do? But I said that before any of this happened. Anyway, I don't know. I just don't toss around terms about the left and the right, and I didn't do it before, and I don't do it now. So this is going to change my stance. I just don't speak in terms like that. I mean, you're this is what you believe in, and this is what you don't believe in.
Did you used to? Did you ever fall into that?
No, never did. I just never did. I because I know that being Democratic, I get labeled with all kind of stuff, and I said like, well, people don't listen to what I'm saying because maybe there's a D by my name, and I'm sure there's people with R by their name that feel the same way. But yeah. I just have never acquiesced to that because I just can't. It's not like it's alarming to be pigeonholed like that, but I just know that most Americans are liberal on some things and most Americans are conservative on some things, but that got washed away at the bridge like over there in Nashville or whatever, you know, I don't know where that is. That's the part where I think we will find that again in the country, but that's the part that we might not have ever found again if this assassin was successful on
Saturday. To what degree do you feel like it was probably over before, but now it's over, as far as Biden goes?
It was probably over before. It probably still is. But I think that, you know, that had a lot to do with his performance, and it had a lot to do with, I just don't get why, this refusal, you know, I don't get that. I'll always sometimes throw into that, unless he knows something I don't know. You know,
his defensiveness in some of these interviews lately, they're supposed to be like his, you know, I'm talking about Biden, his ability to kind of come back. And when he's pressed on some of the things he said, he gets this defensive statue, like, you don't know what you're talking about, or the polls are great. And defensive posture never really works. It never comes across in a positive way. And so it's something like, even like if you're a candidate, you're trained on that. But I can I say something really quick about political violence? I think people think this is, you know, this is way more common than you realize. I know people in the Missouri legislature who have had, in addition to the threats we get all the time online that may or may not be real, I know people in the legislature who've had credible threats where the FBI has said there's a threat and we're going to be parked outside your house until it goes away. Your kids have been threatened. And the reason the threats have become for things like because you've supported a pro-life bill. Or because you were against gun control. Things that, like, really? You know, a lot of people are for or against those things. Those people have strong feelings about those. But to threaten someone's life or their children's life because you disagree with them on a social issue, which you probably disagree with half Americans on. But this political violence is not unusual. It's very common. There are threats happening constantly. And it goes on even here at school boards. Mayors, state legislators, all the way up to the president.
It's become a go-to thing.
It really has.
Yeah.
I that's a good way of putting it. I didn't ever phrase it like that. But yeah, that is so bizarre to me to threaten somebody's life. Okay, that's criminal to me in the first place. And then what really kind of just the sickening part of this is that this involved a gun and a 20-year-old and possibly killing. So that's deranged to me. I mean, that's beyond.
Not only was he a millimeter away from dying, he was a millimeter away from dying in front of the world.
That's another part that made me just sick to my stomach. I'm still like really sick over it. In that, no, this is not young people. Okay, young people, you've lived in a much crazier online world than I have, but the thought of that is just horrific to me, and I'm just not getting the sense that younger people have an understanding of what almost happened.
Yeah, they will,
and what it would have looked like. And I mean, we've seen the Bruder, and it ain't nice, but it wasn't in color, you know. And it just would have been awful. It just would have got awful.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys.
DGS. We have Alvin Reed. We have Gene Evans here for the think tank. So let's talk about some actual races here locally. We're all seeing the ads in Kehoe and Ashcroft and Igel. Bill just reached out to us today asking if he could be on the show. Of course he can. Any of them can. How are we looking? How do you handicap it, Alvin?
I toss up on the governor's race. I really don't know because by the time you get that third candidate in there, then who's going to take votes from who, and then who's left standing. I did not think they would go, you know, jaws on each other in the commercials the way that they have, because it's almost unbelievable. I've said, like, he hates Trump, but no, the next commercial says
he was endorsed by Trump.
And right, it's like, boy, y'all savaging each other. It's just been, you know, but so on that one, I
because you
I
know
really
there
know.
Can't be that much difference between Onder and Kehoe and Ashcroft and Igel. Like, they would all get in the same room and agree on stuff. They're different personalities. They're, you know, some's more mercurial than others.
Yeah, pretty much. And one, you know, like, I would have taken down my commercial with the guy. Is it, I forgot which one has a gun. He's firing an AK-47
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, two of them do.
I said, like, dude, I took
Scharf
that down for
and,
a couple of days anyway.
And Igel. Yeah,
I'd say I'd have took that down for a day or two, you know, because that, I know they don't think so. Go for it. Yeah, but I would, you know, I thought that was a little. But, you know.
Well, so Kehoe, Igel, I know these guys pretty well, served with them, and I think since there are three of them, it does make it kind of interesting. I think Igel and Ashcroft have been somewhat in the same lane, or tried to be in the same lane, which has given an opportunity to Kehoe. The thing that's interesting about this race is, from a Republican perspective, is Ashcroft had all the name ID. So all the polling going for the first, you know, really until a few months ago, had Ashcroft way in the lead, but he wasn't raising money and he didn't put the race away. So the race is up for grabs at this point. Mm-hmm. Igel is surging. If he had more money, I would give him a better chance. But with 3 weeks left to go, he has some money, but it's about 10% of what Mike Kehoe has. And the reason that's important is because of the outreach, right? Because people are starting to pay attention. So they're going to see it. They're going to see digital. They're going to get mail. They're going to see it on TV. They're going to hear it on the radio. And they're going to hear more about these candidates because people don't. And what's interesting to me is my friends are starting to ask me about it. And they say, well, who's running again besides Kehoe? And when I say Ashcroft, they go, oh, like, they know the name, but they were not identifying him with the race. And most of them haven't heard of Bill Igel. So outside of, like, a lot of grassroots politics, Igel is not really a household name.
I'd say outside around here, I think he's
not. But he
not.
Is surging. Okay. He has got a lot of momentum.
And Ashcroft said he was running for governor about 5 minutes after
when
the last governor.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So his name has been out there.
They're showing the commercial of him blowing something up right now.
So,
Will Sharp.
So
gotta take that
he's
off.
Been out there a while. So that that would be kind of concerning if I was him. What's the latest you heard on Wesley and Cori Bush?
Toss up.
Okay.
I keep hearing that.
Right.
I hear Wesley's up.
All right. I have heard it's close, but Wesley had gone up. But my first thing I heard was Wesley was way ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.